You are now tuning in to Nude Radio with your host, Kenny Heflin, and I'm joined by the lovely Tisha.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
I'm so glad to have you back again.
Oh my goodness. I'm enjoying myself. This is a blast.
They love you.
Well, I love them too. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, like I told you before, like the nudists around everywhere. I've gotten comments, I've gotten great feedback from the episodes that you've been co-hosted and things, and people have learned a lot from you.
I'm glad. I wish I could say I learned a lesson.
But,
Try.
yeah.
Thank you.
No, thank you. I greatly appreciate it and stuff. And even just like with the stories and ex perspectives and stuff that you're able to offer has been very much needed.
Well, thank you.
A needed voice that needs to be heard.
I try.
Yeah. And this week will be even more special because, we'll get to dabble into some lady business,
I like lady business. Lady business is good.
Yeah, some lady business and stuff.
Thank
But
you.
before I get into it, you guys make sure to like and subscribe to New Radio streaming on all platforms where you can hear a podcast. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter under the same handle at New Radio 101, and to reach out to me if you want to on Instagram at Kenny Heflin on my personal page. But yes, Tisha, like I
Yes,
say, thank you for coming back. And I
anytime.
think this week's episode is going to be very informative. And I think that, based on your own personal experiences, you'll be able to open up a lot of people's, vision into what it means to, be seeking out motherhood and what that journey looks like and the triumphs and the struggles and the obstacles and stuff and just like how you're dealing with that currently. And yeah, I'm excited.
Well, thank you for doing this one. I know. I was like, hey, Kenny, I want to talk about this. And you were like, okay. And I was like, really? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Because we talk about the love, sex, and relationships, but within that means, people are reproducing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
Absolutely.
yes. Being fruitful and multiplying.
Multiply, multiply.
Yes.
In
Yeah.
all aspects. Come on now.
Listen. Okay.
In all
Exactly.
aspects.
Yeah. So with the journey of fertility, when would you say that you actively started?
So, like, let's be real. Let's talk about our wonderful, wonderfully upside down, crazy, backward ass society. So, and I'm not saying it in a bad way, just hear me out. We are taught that we go to school, we work our butts off to get where we need to be. So that means it could be you may have to get your bachelor's. You go to high school, you got to get your bachelor's degree. After you get your bachelor's degree, now you got to get your master's, depending upon what you want to do. Some people go and get their PhD, or they go to medical school, they do this, they that, they do that. Then you actually got to get in your career field, find out where you fit, because like you got to navigate that whole thing, right? As you trying to navigate that, you got to financially be where you need to be. And then as you try to do that, you hoping and praying that you find the right person, because then you got to go through your plethora, or not plethora, but you got to go through your, fuckboy journey, or your journey of we could say a
Kissing a lot of frogs.
lot of frogs. You got to go through your frogs, and then you find the right person. So that we have to then in turn ask you, like, how old are you at that point, right? And then, like, are you ready? Because now we have to deal with the financial aspects of like what this entails. What does that look like? How does that feel? If you follow the journey that they tell you to follow, right? So you look up, I will not disclose said age, but I'm grateful to be the age I am. And but you get to a certain point. And then you're like, okay, I have met the person. I've done what I needed to do, or what I'm supposed to do. And then you're like, I'm ready to get pregnant. And they looking at you like you crazy.
Who are the they?
The medical environment or the medical establishment, right? They want to look at you like you're crazy. They're like, okay, like, really? And then they make you feel like you old, decrepit, and damn near dead.
Yeah, because after like 35, or is it before or after 35, they start calling you a geriatric pregnancy?
You see, let's look it up. I've looked it up before. Let's see.
But I want to say after 35, it's like that's when they start saying you, you know, a geriatric pregnancy. It's like, oh my God, that just sounds so.
Yeah, 35 years or older, which is crazy because again, by the time you go through that process, right? Mm-hmm. And like, don't take another step. Like for me, I joined the military. I was in the military for a period of time, you know, so that, you know, that was time. So before I even went to school. So by the time you get situated, and then also like as a woman, you go through different, you know, changes in life, right?
Yeah.
So by the time you get ready to do whatever it is that you need to do, you're at whatever age. And it's this whole process that nobody told you that you really needed to think about. And also something I found out, like they don't tell you, is that there's a certain age to freeze your eggs. And so I think you have to freeze your eggs. What's the egg freezing age? Like it's early for women to freeze their eggs. Let's see.
Yeah, because they usually would just throw it out there like, oh, freeze your eggs without really telling you like a that there may be a certain age or the expense of freezing eggs.
Yeah.
And that's just me as a dude looking on the outside, you know, like, huh?
Yes, like they it costs the arm, leg, foot, and the spleen. They tell you not to freeze your eggs after 40, but I think it's a certain point up to your 30s.
Oh.
Yeah. Then they tell you the best time to retrieve your eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. They said when I was looking into it, I was past the age. So if somebody had told me at this age, I should have frozen my eggs. They said before 35. But at the time when I looked into it, they were saying like 20, I think it was 29, they told me.
Damn.
So, and it's a cost, right? Because you freeze them, but then like they got to put them somewhere, right? And they got to store them until you're ready. Then you also have to look into the process that you still have to get them. They have to do the in vitro. They have to put them inside you. That's all of that's a separate cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you get past a certain age, you also have to take certain prescriptions, their shots, their this, their that. You're like, oh my God. Not to mention, you also have to check to see if your internal body is prepared for you to do this, because women have fibroids, cysts, they have endometriosis, they have a lot of things, you know, that you may not even realize you have. I was going through my journey and I was like, oh, you know, I think I'm okay. We're just going to get checked. Mm-hmm. And then you have to do, in order to get checked, there's a whole nother process. There's, you know, there's ultrasound, there's blood tests, there's ultrasounds, there's a saline ultrasound.
Mm.
The saline ultrasound, if nobody, is painful as fuck.
Ooh.
They tell you, oh, you might want to take a few ibuprofen. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful, right? So you go and do that, and then they were like, oh, okay. But then if you don't tell them you're trying to get pregnant, they're not really going to tell you like what they see, right?
Mm.
So then you go back and you're like, okay. And they're like, oh, you have fibroids. And you know, I had a major surgery. I had something called an open myomectomy, which is actually, I had a full-on C-section, and they took out 52 fibroids. Yes, I did say 5'2".
Damn.
And because when they did the saline ultrasound, they saw, wait a minute, I'm sorry, they couldn't see one of my eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So then also, oh yeah, I didn't tell you about the fact that they have to see if your tubes are open. That shit is painful as fuck too. That's a whole nother process in a whole different lab to do something else that is very invasive. Then they were like, okay, you have fibroids. Then I had to go do the MRI. Mm-hmm. They only saw, remember I told you, 6 or 7 fibroids. They were like, oh, yeah, 6 or 7 big fibroids. When they got in there, they took out 52.
Wow.
And I had an amazing doctor, an amazing, phenomenal doctor. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I told her I wanted to save my uterus. And usually in women of color, they try to remove your uterus. When they see something like that, they try to take it out. Mm. So let me tell you about this crazy journey.
Yes.
Anybody who is around the age of 30 or 35, I'll say 35 just to be on the safe side, I would actually start finding out between the age of 30 and 35, because as you know, as you age, your eggs, you know, leave you. I find it so ironic. We're born as women with millions and millions of eggs. And then they, as you know, as we age, they go bye-bye. I'm like, so then what's the...
Right.
Anyway, but I would find out where my egg count is and find out what, you know, how low you are, what your limits are, understand, go sit down with your GYN, talk about it. And I would start around 35. If you're not too low, mm-hmm. I would, or even if you are low, I would start taking CoQ10 and DHEA. When I met my doctor, on my journey trying to find a doctor, that's a whole nother avenue. When I would tell doctors that I wanted to have a baby, I wanted to see what they had to say. So this is more or less, you have to find the right doctor. So seek out the right doctor. If they're not on your page, you don't want them.
Right.
And so you need to see if they are going in your direction or if they're not. So I would ask quiz questions. They won't even know that you're asking questions, but I would be like, oh, you know, what do you think about me having a baby? Or what do you think my chances are of having a baby? Like, what do you think about women my age, you know, in the process? And so listen to what they say. Yeah, you know, it's possible, but you know, after a certain age, you know, nothing's possible and you can't do, you want to X them. They're not even in the arena you're trying to listen to. You need to go in and find that right doctor. And what was so awesome is when I walked into my doctor's office, I was explaining to her that I wanted to have a child. And I told the nurse, and the nurse was like, have you started taking CoQ10? I was like, I had never heard of taking CoQ10. There's a certain amount you take. And I was surprised. I started 1 year. The following year, my egg count doubled.
Hmm.
I got tested again the year after that. My egg count tripled. So, and most people think that your egg, once you, your eggs like leave you, they think that you can't have more eggs, but eggs are fat, mm-hmm. and they regenerate. And so most people don't tell you this, but I will tell anyone, because once I started on my journey and I was freaking out, if you don't believe me, go on to YouTube and just type in naturally pregnant at 40, mm-hmm. naturally pregnant after 40, naturally pregnant after 45. Mm. You'd be surprised how many videos come up. Is it possible to get pregnant after a certain age naturally? And listen to see what they have to say. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised to hear certain things that nobody talks about. If you look online, it'll tell you how much CoQ10 to take. If you look online, you can find out how much DHEA to take. Mm-hmm. They usually come in, I think DHEA is like 20 milligrams. You can find out how much you need. I take the pills every day and my egg count has gone up. Never let anybody tell you you can't naturally get pregnant. They told my god sister that. When she was younger, she got married because she had endometriosis. She has 2 kids. They're on their way to college now.
Wow.
So always get a second, third, and fourth opinion. Try non-natural, non-traditional method. Like, I have been doing acupuncture. I actually met a woman who told me, so strange, I was at the farmer's market and I met this woman. She had this beautiful baby and I happened to be with my friends. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh my God, like we tried, you know, fertility medicines and blah, 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 blah. And nothing worked. We did the treatment and I gave up. Mm-hmm. She said, so then I just was like out of the rain for like ever. I thought we were never going to have kids. And then she said, I decided, okay, I just want to try this one more time. And she tried acupuncture and chiropractor. Hmm. She did a few acupuncture treatments. She got pregnant. If you look online, you can find out how many women are actually going to chiropractors and acupuncturists. They have a whole fertility treatment area for women who are naturally trying to get pregnant.
How do you think that's affecting, like with those two practices, like how do you think that's affecting the anatomy to potentially get pregnant?
So as far as chiropractic, sometimes our hips are not aligned properly.
Got you.
Right? Because we sit, our posture, depending upon the age. And so what they do is ensure that your body mm-hmm. is properly aligned. And you get an amazing massage. If you get a good chiropractor, honey, you get a massage. And stress will keep you from getting pregnant. Stress will throw your cycle all out of whack, especially the older you get. So you cannot get pregnant if you're stressed out. It's not going to help. So you really, you know, it helps. The massages with the chiropractor help as well. And with acupuncture, what they call the chi and the energy, they move through your body, you know, the channels, they can connect to your eggs and things of that nature. So they know how to connect to certain channels to ensure that they open you up and prepare you for pregnancy. Like the womb is supposed to be warm. So if you something's damp or this, I don't exactly know how they, because I don't know what's going on with everybody's body, but they would then in turn like give you a workup. And what I love about acupuncture, it's so damn invasive. And like a way, like when you go to the doctor, they don't ask you certain questions that are relevant to your ability to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So like when you go to acupuncture, they ask you how many bowel movements you had, how much water you drink. When you have your cycle, what does it look like? Is it dark? Did you cramp? Is it spotty? Is it this? Is it that? You would think about that has a lot to do with your ability and what's happening with your cycle.
Yeah.
Are you late? Why were you late? How much stress are you under? Is this like they may tell you at the doctor at the regular, you know, regular GYN, like, okay, well, are you stressed out? They're not really going to really go deep mm-hmm. in that. You know, they give you herbs to take to make sure that your body aligns and to help you open up to get pregnant. They help you, you know, they will actually, when you have the surgery or if you have to have surgery, they actually help me heal through that.
Wow.
So they, you know, and people don't realize like to have a full, you know, C-section is not easy. Understanding now, most people do not understand. I had to do a lot of research because I wanted a midwife. A lot of women of color are having midwives because they're not having successful, like the babies are born, but the babies end up passing away mm-hmm. Due to difficulties and challenges in childbirth. But because of the fact that I had a C-section and that I am no longer to have a vaginal birth, I can't have a vaginal birth anymore, but I can still have a C-section to have children. I was informed that, you know, okay, you may not be able to get a midwife. As I called and spoke to midwives, and I'm letting women know, you can have a midwife when you have a C-section. They ask you two questions to determine, and then there's a special area they put you in, and they are with you there when you have a C-section, because they help you pick the drugs you're under less, they help you navigate your stress during that period of time. Mm-hmm. They can be your mouthpiece when you're in the middle of that. They kind of help you. You've already had these conversations and discussions, so they kind of know how to navigate with you when you're in that journey and you're not necessarily unable to speak for yourself, but when you still have to go through like having labor induced and that and that stuff. So like you need somebody who's of clear mind to understand how you want to be treated and what you want to happen during your birthing process.
An advocate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that's something that you mentioned before. And I thought about just like with the infant mortality rate and stuff and just like how exponentially like high it is with women of color, most importantly with Black women. And you know, I seen like with our Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, how she's been really championing working with a lot of GYNs and OBGYNs who are Black. She's been working with Dr. Jackie from Married to Medicine, I saw recently. And they've been like speaking on behalf of having to like lower that because of the dangers that Black women deal with when they're under the thumb of a lot of like these traditional hospitals and
absolutely
not listening them, doctors and nurses not taking into account or consideration what they're going through, their pain levels, and you know, discounting like their experience and perspectives when they're the ones that's actually going through labor at the time, you know. And like I say, from somebody from the outside, I've just been like viewing it just like, wow, just in awe.
So Kamala Harris is supposed to be working. I have a sister-in-law who is in Seattle, and she is got a commendation and supposed to be doing some stuff with Kamala. She's a midwife.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of people don't understand there's so much to this, and people don't understand that there's certain questions you need to ask. And if they tell you that you need a fertility specialist, you need to go around to different doctors. You need to research and find out which doctors work with what they call geriatric pregnancies or specialize in geriatric pregnancies. Who work with women over a certain age? What are people saying about these doctors? And you need to, because I actually went to my old GYN who happened to be like one of the top fertility specialists in the area. And she told me, I hadn't seen her in a while because I had different insurance and I actually paid out of my pocket to go by and see her. And she confirmed what my actual doctor told me. The doctor that I found, and I actually found my doctor I love now at Kaiser, strangely enough. Again, it's asking the right questions and seeing who's going to be in your corner. But what I found out was that I could naturally get pregnant. And see, a lot of times they won't tell you that, and they want you to go the fertility route. By the time you reach 35, they're pushing you 35 and 40. They're pushing you to go the fertility route. Like they want you to undergo the IVF treatments and this, that, and the other. And you may not even need to do that, right? Mm-hmm. You may have enough eggs and everything to do that. So you want to have your paperwork and your labs done, and you want to take them to doctors to see. You may have to visit a couple of doctors to see if you actually can get pregnant naturally. Like what you need to do to prepare your body for natural birth. And don't let anybody discourage you. If the doctors have told you you can get pregnant naturally, then get pregnant naturally. Again, there's acupuncture. There are all types of herbs. If you look online, they talk about herbs. I found this wonderful, amazing woman. She was, I think, with Chinese medicine, if I'm not mistaken. And she talked about how they really haven't done research on women and actually them truly getting pregnant and studying it for over like 200, 300 years. So like they're not understanding that eggs can regenerate. So you lose eggs, but by taking CoQ10 and DHEA, it helps to regenerate eggs. Mm-hmm. And they won't even really talk to you about it. Or they may mention it. Like my doctor was like, take CoQ10. And I did. And I saw my egg count go up and I was really surprised. But again, they hit you with your age. So you have to, again, make sure, you know, your path is clear. Make sure your fallopian tubes are open. I had to go in twice for my fallopian tube procedure because the first time my fallopian tubes were squished by all the fibroids. Mm-hmm. And then after I healed and went back, then they had to open up. One of my fallopian tubes was open, but the other one had to be opened surgically. Which was pretty simple, but again, it's painful. You still have to have all of these painful procedures mm-hmm. that nobody talks to you about. But it's also fascinating how in this country, they make you feel, again, like you're old, decrepit, and half near dead, and you're not.
Right.
And, you know, my husband's from Nigeria, so we went to see the midwife there. And we went to see the midwife there. Homegirl was like, so you how old? Oh, I help women in their 50s, like 50s and 60s give birth.
What?
So in it, naturally, naturally. And if you go to third world countries, like Venezuela, like different places like that, they don't, like Africa, they don't make you feel like you're old. As long as you still have your cycle and you're still producing eggs, you know, they have herbs, they work with all types of women. And if you say you want to have a baby, they're like, okay, let's get cracking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole conversation to me was very, very fascinating because they do not tell you that.
Do you think that it has something to do with the American pharmaceutical complex?
That and all of the money they make from people getting in vitro.
Yep.
I mean, like the whole process to even get the pills
mm-hmm.
or the shots, the injections, it's an arm, leg, foot, and a spleen. And then insurance companies, 90%, well, I'll say about 75% of insurance, if you have good insurance, because I have good insurance, they say, oh, well, we won't allow you after a certain age into the fertility program. So, okay, so now you got to go find studies. I had a friend of mine who found a study in North Carolina who helped her with the fertility process.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to get a lot of stuff done for free. But again, she went in there with the mindset like, look, I'm having these babies and it's your job to help me have these babies, but we gon' have these babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but after you have doctors say horrible things to you, like I had a black female doctor say to me, yeah, I wouldn't even attempt to even try IVF. I would just adopt.
What?
They can be so discouraging, so negative, so horrible. They make you feel like crap.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a very strong person. I don't really get shooketh too much.
Mm-hmm. But that's very discouraging, especially I can imagine like it coming from, you know, a woman doctor on top of like a black woman doctor. And this is like a very vulnerable time that you're in, that you're like, you've seen the things, you've heard the horror stories and the ways they try to deter you guys from attempting to get pregnant, or once you get pregnant, you know, and you go into it with all of that on your back, and then to hear that just reaffirms that pain, it triggers you.
It's painful. You know, you really have to pick yourself up off the floor. So that's why you really want a doctor that's in your corner. Like when I found out that I was in this particular area of this same vicinity of doctors that was making me feel old, decrepit, and half near dead. And they're like, oh yeah, you have these fibroids. So like, yeah, we're going to have to like take them out. I said, oh no, I was like, do you see my doctor's, you know, schedule? Can you see it? And they're like, no, you have to call over there, but we can perform. I was like, y'all motherfuckers ain't touching me with a 10-foot damn pole. It's bad enough I got to come over this motherfucker to get y'all to take, you know, to do these tests. Mm-hmm. You ain't touching me. They were like, well, we can schedule you for surgery. You ain't scheduling me for shit. I wake up, I won't have no goddamn uterus. I ain't fucking with y'all.
Okay.
So I called my doctor, put in an urgent call, and I was like, so this is what's happening. And they set me for an appointment. And she was like, I said, well, I don't even really need an appointment. Can she do the surgery? They was like, I'll find out. She called me back. They were like, we can take you in 2 months. And they did the surgery. And she said, I will work with you with a uterine specialist to ensure. She said, you know, I can't make you any guarantees because we don't know if we get in there and there's going to be a bleed and we have to, you know, stop, you know, we have to take it because we have to save your life. Mm-hmm. I was like, if it looks complicated, it looks like it's going to cause a problem, don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Save my uterus. When they came after, so I called you from after I got out of surgery.
I remember.
And the doctor came in and said, we took out 52 fibroids, the uterine specialist. I thought she was like, I said, oh, she, I don't know what she said. Because I was, you know, out of it anyway. I was still under the medicine. And then the next day, my gyno came in and was like, no, we took out 52 fibroids.
And what sizes were they?
They were all rages, small ones, big ones. They were all size. I could not believe it. Some, the ones they saw on the MRI were the size of oranges.
Y'all hear that? In just the fact that the woman's body, the womb, can hold 52 fibroids, let alone sizes that are golf balls, different sizes, peas, cherries, oranges, just all stuck and just compacted in your midsection.
And they did two surgeries at the same time. So they did one where they went internally and took it out just like through my lady bits. And then the rest of them, they had to cut me open like I'm and pull out my uterus and cut them out.
So question for the people, because I know some people would most likely ask, did you have pre-existing pain in that area before the surgery? Like, did you feel any sharpness or that like let you know, like, I wonder if something's going on with my midsection, like deep down under the skin?
So I did not have the typical signs of fibroids, right? I did not. And so I didn't realize that they were there, or maybe the doctors knew that they were there,
mm-hmm.
but they just, I wasn't pushing to have, you know, a baby. So they really probably didn't look into it. You have to actually be willing, like you need to be asking them to check just in general. And again, like I said, those procedures are painful. And usually that's when they have you go to the fertility clinic, because they're actually looking inside your womb and at your eggs, and they're looking at all of that, which they normally don't do. So even if you're planning, if you're 30, if you're between 30 and 35, really start looking at that, because I really wish I had done that earlier. Even though, like, I was like, I don't know when the hell I'm going to get, you know, married, and I don't know when the hell I'm going to, you know, get pregnant. But I really wish I had. What I was told was that they had been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I had a whole bunch of cramps and I had a lot of bleeding. But again, I had been going through this my whole life, right? So I was like, you know, I would bleed through some things. Like, I had a friend who went through it, and she would like go through a pad in an hour. Okay, that's dangerous because you're losing, you know, iron and you're losing too much blood. But I wasn't, you know, yeah. I was going through like, you know, 2, maybe 3 pads a day. But that for me was normal. And I didn't have any signs because I go to the doctor all the time. So I wasn't having like the typical iron loss or whatever, because I was always like slightly anemic, but it was nothing off to make them be like, oh, da 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 da. And I was just used to cramping, and I was used to bleeding. And I know they always say, you know, like we were taught, like when a woman bleeds, she bleeds like a half a cup throughout her whole cycle. Mm. And I used to be like, damn, this is a lot more than a half a damn cup. Like, this is a cup and a half, about two damn cups. But I'm like, I'm not in pain and I'm not having the symptoms that everybody else had. And I'm used to it. Mm-hmm. And until I actually was on my journey. So like, I'm still asking my doctor now that I've had these fibroids, like, what the hell is a normal cycle? Is this normal? How do you know what a normal cycle is? So now I'm like, wow. And so now I'm working through that with my acupuncturist.
Gotcha.
Because they're asking me questions like, they were like, no, you're about right. Mm-hmm. But if nobody's telling you, how you going up?
Right. And in your opinion, why do you think that, you know, I've seen things like this, I've read into things in this route, but in your opinion, why do you feel that the rates of fibroids and polyps are so high within Black women?
Yeah, I have polyps too. God, it was a lot. I had a lot going on. Mm-hmm. We had to clean it out. One thing I love about my doctor, she said, we're going to make sure that baby has plenty of space to grow when he or she is able to move around.
I know that's right.
That baby's home is a safe space. Combination of things. On a spiritual level, I think a lot of women hold their trauma, you know, things that happen to them, and I think that's the way they show up. Mm-hmm. I've heard, you know, due to having perms and stuff in your hair. Mm. Because there's a whole, they're doing lawsuits now about women having fibroids in connection to fibroids to the chemical perms.
Wow.
Hair relaxers. Yeah, you could look that up. Again, just stress. Because Black women, I don't know about other, but I know Black women, we hold our stress internally, and like our stress moves in certain ways. And that's another thing, also working with chiropractor, understanding like where stress lies in your body. If you've had a lot of trauma, I feel that that's where their trauma would show up. Also like genetics, like sometimes genetically we have things that we don't even realize we have.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know for the women in my, at least on my mom's side of the family, it's very much known, it's a thing where around, you know, 37, 38, they start to go through menopause. Mm-hmm. Very early.
Yeah.
But like my mom says, like they're very fertile during those early years. Mm-hmm. But around 38, it just, you know, I can still remember the days of being a kid when my mom started going through menopause and her hollering through the house to come fan her and turn the air on and stuff like that. And she wasn't even 40 yet.
Wow.
But that's been a thing from her mother's to her mother's mother, and all the women from that side, for the most part, they've all been going through early menopause, which is very interesting. But again, that just speaks to genetics that, you know, affects y'all.
I have a friend who's in that same situation. Like the family knows that they have to by a certain time. You know,
so act now.
Yeah, act now.
Speak now, forever hold your peace. Wow,
it's insane. And also, I want to let women know. I learned this from the midwife in Nigeria that I found fascinating. You know, I don't know if people research the birthing process in the U.S., but we birth women. Women birth. They're doing more natural births, mm-hmm. but they have you giving birth laying down. And that's not the proper way to give birth. You're supposed to be in a squatting position. So like when women back in the day, or like women in foreign countries, they give birth standing up or squatting, mm-hmm. because gravity is pulling the baby down. That's right. The way to pull the baby out. So gravity is working in your favor, mm-hmm. versus you laying down. How is gravity working in your favor? It's not where it's working against you, because gravity, you're flat. So
it's like you sucking when you laying down, it's sucking the baby back in. When you push out, your body sucking it back in. The baby like, wait, hold on, I'm going through.
Right.
I'm pushing the pull.
It needs to go down. Like you're supposed to be in a squatting position. And most people don't realize that. I don't know if you've researched it, but it goes against. That's why more people are trying to have more traditional or natural birthing, like the water births and things of that nature, or having things in a more natural setting. But what I found out from talking to the midwife, which I didn't know, was that she asked me, and I was like, see, they don't ask these questions when you go and ask about getting pregnant. She said, when you have sex, does the sperm stay inside you? I never had a doctor ask me that question. Does this fall out, mm-hmm. or does it stay inside? And so if it falls out, what's trying to go to get where it needs to get is not getting there, mm-hmm. because it's falling straight out. And there's herbal stuff that these midwives there know how to do if that's happening. But they want to see if the, because the sperm is supposed to stay inside of you. And I think it takes like 2 to 3 days for it to all completely come out, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But it's there to actually like fertilize the egg. So if it falls right out, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So it's rejecting it and kicking it back out.
What about with the old school method, when the women would pretty much be up against the bed upside down and put the Vaseline or something on top to seal in?
They want sealing in. Also, you can lift your legs up in the air. Make
sure the gravity keeps
pushing it down. That works too. I have a girlfriend who got pregnant like that.
Oh.
Uh-huh. She wanted to make sure, so she just...
I know that's right.
She was trying to keep it in. But also, the midwife explained to me that most of the time they don't tell you is that, she said, when you're in your first trimester, they ask women not to have sex because that's when women have the most miscarriages.
Gotcha.
I said, damn, nobody ever, like, here, you don't hear that. And she's like, because we need the baby to lock on and be linked in to really fully connect. If something is pushing up against the baby, if something is pushing up and knocking up against the baby, mm-hmm. it's helping to knock it. It's trying to like latch on so we could do what it needs to do. If you're having sex and something is going up in it, even though it's not touching the baby, it's causing friction and movement and things of that nature to keep the baby, to not, you know, be a comfortable place to make sure that that seal is connected, or the baby's able, not seal is connected, but you know, the baby's able to,
is able to connect it against the wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And then she was like, we also check, you know, we have ways to check to see if we want to keep you all from having sex like another month or two in the second trimester to see if the baby needs to continue that seal or if you're good to go. And then she was like, in the third trimester, we encourage you to constantly have sex because the sperm causes the uterus to contract, which will help you with your contractions to help to push the baby out. I said, well, I'll be damned.
Well, look at that. So basically, because, you know, they'll try to say, and also just like a lot of men are afraid to have sex with their wives or girlfriends when they're big because of whatever reasons, right? Because, you know, she don't look like how she probably looked when you first got her pregnant, which usually in the first trimester they still fucking, right? Because she's still probably not even showing. But it's like, okay, so y'all don't do that, but do more of this when she do got the watermelon baby growing up in her belly.
I thought that was fascinating because they said that sperm really helps that contraction, because you need the contractions mm-hmm. to help the baby come out. And I was like, wow, you know, and they don't teach you. I think when you get that, I think they tell you not to or slow down or whatever. But no, in Nigeria, they tell you to have fun.
So with the women who, especially like a lot of the popular celebrity women who've been getting pregnant in their past 45, because I feel like we're now in a society where, which is a great thing, where women are, you know, they're working the jobs that men used to only work, you know, 20, 30 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting the careers that they want. They're taking their time and finding mates that suit them, you know, in their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And they're getting pregnant, you know, at 38. They're getting pregnant at 40, 41. But for the women who we kind of see, especially like the successful women that we see that's past 45 that are getting pregnant, and I don't know exactly which ones have done like the in vitro route or gotten pregnant naturally, But you know, you got like the women, like we've seen, you know, Halle Berry, and we've seen Kenya Moore, we've seen Janet Jackson, we've seen women
The brat.
up the brat, yeah. You know, so but that's a little bit different though.
Was she at IVF?
Yeah, she had IVF. But yeah, it's I wonder what are they doing? Like, how did they go about it?
I'm sure a lot of them did IVF. I'm sure a large portion of them did, because if they had it. But you, what's that doctor lady? Not doctor lady. He has a talk show.
Tamron Hall.
Tamron Hall. She's almost
Love
50
her.
or 50.
Yeah, she has.
And I don't know if she had IVF. Some people I really don't know if they did or not. Some people I think did. But I'm not sure. But a lot of people did. I would say most of those people did. But that's okay, as long as you are comfortable. Get a good doctor who's really going to support your journey and support you and have your back. Like, that's so important.
Yeah, I mean, and then even when it comes to practicing getting pregnant, like, how has that been for you?
Well, not saying it like that, but my husband's not here. My husband's in another country, so that's a little challenging. But that's okay. When we try, we have a lot of fun.
Is that like the priority? Like, is that like probably like one of the main priorities? Especially now post surgery, which first off, y'all, she healed from that surgery because that surgery was very, very invasive. Like she said, they took out her uterus, opened it up, took the things out, stitched it back up, put it back in her body. This woman was walking around like normal a week and a half later. And I'm like, girl, what? We up there going to breakfast and stuff. I'm like, are you
It was
sure?
no, it was you came by to I think you came by to see me. We went to breakfast when I was off of, I think, 2 months, because they said I couldn't drive, so I drove over here. So it was 2 months. Yeah, 2 months after, because I had to I couldn't drive. You know me, I was going crazy.
But she was walking around
Yeah, I
though,
was.
like a good 2 weeks after. I'm like, are you sure you up there taking your walks and stuff? And I'm like, are you not in pain?
I was in a lot of pain, but I was not gonna let them force, I remember I was telling my doctor, I was like, I don't want any opioids. She said, listen, let me tell you something. She was like, you're gonna need something. She was like, now what you choose to do after you get to a certain point, but I refuse to not give you anything that you need. She was like, now what you do is up to you. Now I'm in the hospital, honey. Them opioids was my best friend. They had my ass on Dilaudid and a few other things, and I was like, what? But
But you took them responsibly.
yeah, no, I did. I actually, after like week two, I wasn't taking the opioids anymore. I was on what was I on? Tylenol and ibuprofen. They had me on heavy duty. I was like, I didn't even know you could take 1,000 milligrams of Tylenol. Don't nobody do that though. I was under medical care, but they had me on in the way they did the combination between the ibuprofen and the Tylenol was like really cool, because like it worked. But like, yeah, it was yeah, I was working from home after week two. I was working from home because I couldn't drive. But yeah, they said I was healing really well. But my dad, I give thanks to my dad, because he took really good care of me with his crazy hand pus. But he took really good care of me. Because it was challenging.
I mean, I was just rooting you on and cheering you on, and
Appreciate you.
oh yeah, I mean, because
That was hard.
yeah.
That surgery was nobody's joke.
Ooh, I remember when you told me that you were gonna have to get it done. I was just like, oh my gosh. And then when it actually was the day of, I'm like, wait, shit, it happened already, because you know how time passes by fast as hell. And I'm like, oh my God, wait.
Yeah, it was painful. It's when you're very independent, and you have nurses taking care of you, and Yeah, I spent like a whole week, a week and like a day in the hospital.
Did it leave like a scar?
Yes.
Okay. But like for them, since you had a good doctor, what they probably do, like over or under the panty line?
It was on like right above the panty line.
Okay.
It was like, but you can't really see it. Like you can't, you know, unless I'm, you know, you can't really see it. So if I wanted to wear a bikini, I'm good.
Right. So we can see you at the beach.
Yeah, you can see me at the beach.
I know, that's right. In a two piece.
Absolutely.
Okay. See, yeah, and I'm glad that you had even mentioned that and stuff, because I remember looking at an interview that Ebony K. Williams had did probably about, what, 2 or 3 months now. But she was talking about there was a lot of controversy around certain opinions that she had about, you know, women starting early and things like that with college and finding your mate. And she was coming from a perspective as someone who, I think Ebony is in her very early 40s, like she just turned 40 mm-hmm. Not too long ago. And she was just basically trying to let younger women know, like, you know, get your careers. Obviously, we can't control shit, right?
Right, not at all.
Get your careers and all the things. But also, if you do want a family at some point, make sure to secure that within your, obviously, with everything that's right. If all the ingredients are properly
right
there, of course. Start as early as you can, because she was just letting a lot of the young girls know, a lot of like the millennials and Gen Zs know the struggles of trying to get pregnant and the negatives that they, like you say, like the medical system tries to let you know here in America at least. But then also, I wasn't thinking about it, but you know, she mentioned, like, you know, egg freezing is not free.
Mm-mm,
not and enough. It's not cheap.
Mm-mm.
So there was that too. Like, she just was, again, I'm a dude, you know, but my mom delivered babies and I've always been fascinated with pregnancy. And my mom always had open dialogue about pregnancy and just the whole process. So as a kid, I was always fascinated by the entire duration of a pregnancy with women. And hearing that, you know, from Ebony, you know, I just kind of had a blind spot of just thinking like, oh yeah, like freeze your eggs. It's like, well, actually it's not free.
Mm-mm.
And then it's also not the, like she has said, that's something that rich women are able to just do with, you know, ease.
Absolutely.
Because it's not cheap. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like, I think it's like a monthly due.
Because I think so.
Keep those eggs frozen.
I think so, because you got to keep them somewhere and like you put them in your refrigerator.
Yeah, so that was another thing. Like, I remember her mentioning, you know, that it wasn't just a one-time payment.
No.
I'm like, oh, so you paying like rent for these eggs, basically.
Yeah.
Child.
It's really fascinating because, you know, I respect what she's saying. When you're in your 20s, you know, like I talked to you about this, like we go through phases in our life, right? You're in your 20s, you're thinking and feeling one way. You're in your 30s, you're thinking and feeling one way. You're in your 40s, you're thinking and feeling one way, right? So things I didn't think about, like I've talked to my best friend about this. You know, I was raised a certain way. So like you weren't supposed to get pregnant unless you were married, and you weren't supposed to do certain things at certain times. And, you know, a lot of people know about that middle class family values and middle class, you know, behavior and how they raised you. And I never in a million years thought I would be ever worried about having children, because you don't think about it. In your 20s, you ain't thinking about whether or not you're going to have babies or not. In your 30s, you know, that's not what you're thinking about, right? And so me having to, you know, have this concern, like I was really surprised. Like it really, and you see your other friends, you know, like having children and making it happen. And you know, you look around and their kids are a certain age and you're the only one that doesn't have children, or you want to have children, or you see people who have children and don't want children, you know, and you know you would be a good mother. So, yeah, it's just something I never, ever thought I would be thinking about. And like, I don't know what I remember her speaking on it. I didn't have a chance to see what the reaction was. I hope she didn't get much backlash. Because like they tell you, oh, you should just freeze your eggs. Okay, but yeah, like really? Mm-hmm. And they damn sure ain't talking to women of color who is not making like rich Paris Hilton money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you really want to make sure you take care of your body. Try to be as healthy as you can. Try to make sure you take good care of your body. Mm-hmm. That's super important. Can't stress that enough. And I don't know if you all have been reading up on Serena Williams, but if anybody gets pregnant and you are feeling a certain way, if they don't believe you, please like follow through, talk to somebody who is going to believe you. There was that girl who was pregnant in the UK who they didn't listen to her, and she and the baby ended up passing away.
That's right. I remember that.
And Serena Williams after her pregnancy, almost died. So, you know, people, you really, you know, being women of color, it's super important that, you know,
yeah, Beyonce brought up the fact that she had, I think she had preeclampsia, mm-hmm. the twins.
Mm-hmm. Mm. They don't, you know, we appear to be superwomen, but we ain't all superwomen, like, you know, and it was hurtful. There was a, they did a medical bias at the Kaiser Medical School mm-hmm. in Pasadena. They did a, they had a teacher who actually talked to her class and taught them about medical bias, and they ended up firing the professor. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that story wasn't picked up the way it should have been, because it should have been picked up. People need to know about medical bias. Mm-hmm. I've had migraines and gone into the hospital, and the doctor has made me feel like, why are you here? Because I got a migraine, motherfucker. And I have, you know, it's in my chart. If you look at my medical history, they tell me after a certain point, go to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like I'm lying?
Hmm. That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, medical bias is real. So you have to always be in tune with your body. And you need to make sure that somebody can advocate for you when you are unable to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. Super important. You know, I'm really serious about advocation, but I love old people, so I advocate for older adults all the time and seniors. You know, I'm like, I don't play when it comes to that. But yeah, you should always make sure someone's there to advocate for you, because sometimes you're in situations where you may or may not be able to speak for yourself.
That's true. My mom has always told that to us growing up, making sure that you have someone who has your best interest at heart, you know, who you can trust, but someone who can actually be your mouthpiece in the times where you can't particularly speak clearly, or in unfortunate times, if that ever happens, God forbid, where you can't speak up for yourself. Mm-hmm. So no, like that's super, super important. I mean, because within the journey, I guess, you know, ideally, you know, how many kids would you like to have?
Okay. So, total, I feel spiritually I'm supposed to have 3. Mm-hmm. I'd be grateful for 4. It'll be a blessing. But I really I'm going to hold out for the 3. I would like to have a set of twins and 1. And if I have 2 sets of twins, then I'm good. But if I have a set of twins and 1, I'm good.
Well, I heard that Nigerians always get multiples.
Come on with the come on.
I heard that's a thing.
Come on with the come on. Yeah, my husband has a twin niece and nephew.
Yeah, I heard like that's like just like a thing that people know about, that Nigerians are good for having like multiples.
I'm like, hey, come on with the come on.
Wow.
Yeah, if I get my 3, I'll be eternally grateful. If I get 4, I'll be over the moon. But as long as I can have my 3, and I'll be all right, 1 set of twins and 1 more, I'm good.
Look, I mean, when is the next time that you'll be probably making your way over, you know, overseas?
You know, soon enough, we'll say that.
I know that's right.
But you know, I don't speak on my moves.
Mysterious. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm excited, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to.
Yeah, you better bring your little self over there. Come on now.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna come to the village.
With the babies. I'm be like, there's your Uncle Kenny. Gone over there. Kenny, I need a break.
Just look, just make sure I got some air conditioning. I'll be good.
Be good.
In some shade with air conditioning.
Okay. Deal.
Yes. Yeah. I watch little babies. I'll be, yeah.
Yeah, no, little chocolate drops.
Little chocolate drops.
Absolutely.
Because that, I mean, like I said, I just know that that would just be like more of a full circle moment for you and stuff. And I know like the importance of it.
Very
Yeah.
significant.
Yes, very significant. So, you know, just again from the outside, just I would be just so excited.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, boop, there you go. Drop them all. Drop the baby. Here you go, Kim.
Hopefully they chunky too.
Oh. I don't know. I hope so.
Were you a chunky baby?
Oh no, I was premature. So I don't know if I
Oh,
was chunky.
no.
I was premature. I was 2 months premature. I was supposed to be born in August and I was born in June.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a Leo.
Probably know my mama with her Leo ass.
Right, because she was Leo. I remember you telling me. Okay. Well, look at that.
I was supposed to be a Leo baby. I guess a August baby. They say August.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I mean, with this, I'm glad that, you know, you came on to even talk about this because this has been an ongoing topic as of recently with a lot of women, you know, and especially again, because American society is starting to shift towards women having these corporate roles and just taking their time. You know, and then on top of that, like you mentioned earlier, which we all know, the dating pool has
Take your
many,
time.
many things in it, a lot of frogs to be kissed. So it's like we don't have control over shit, and we don't have control over how people treat us and stuff and match our intentions with theirs, which is kind of slowing down women being able to reproduce when they want to reproduce, you know, until like a later age. So.
And don't let nobody make you feel like you're too old. If your doctor or anybody you talk to, you need to talk to the right people. And let me tell you, I can't stress enough, Google or YouTube University, you'll be surprised. I could not believe when I put in naturally pregnant by 40, how many videos came up? Naturally pregnant by 45, how many videos came up? Pregnant at so-and-so age, that could be natural IV. It would just, I mean, and they don't tell you this stuff. They do not tell you. They want you to pay the money and go to the fertility to go through the IVF and all of that and spend thousands of dollars. And I was just tripped out when I ran into that lady at the farmer's market with her beautiful baby.
Oh.
And she was just telling me, oh my God, like, yeah, I had gave up. We did. I was like, I'm, and then she said, all of a sudden, I just was like, all right, I got the spirit. So she was just like, I'm feeling better about it. What the hell? Let's just try it. And literally, she did. I forgot how many fertility treatments with the acupuncturist, and boom, she got pregnant. Like, and it's a whole process. They take you through the steps, and they do all kinds of herbs and all kinds of stuff. They are amazing.
Yeah, then it's also just interesting with, again, like learning about pregnancy and just how conception works. It's just funny because it's like y'all can be going at it and stuff and nothing.
Stress.
And right when you least expect it, you
Yep.
know, y'all do it. It's like, you know, because my mom will always say, it's really not that easy to get pregnant. Like, you really got to get pregnant. Like, y'all been just doing it. Cause, you know, you got cousins and brothers and stuff in the family. They getting their girlfriends pregnant or something like that, you know. And just like hearing the aunties or, you know, your mom, whoever, it's just like, y'all really was either y'all landed on that special day or y'all just been just reckless, young and reckless, you know. So yeah, just like how conception works is also like very interesting, because it's like that window period that you got to like fall into.
Yeah, I found out so much about myself, my body, and stress. Like, nobody tells you how much stress can prevent you from getting pregnant. Oh my God. I'm like, you asked for a sign. I don't know how many. You too stressed. You stressed out. You're not gonna get pregnant. You stressed. You stressed. You too much stress. 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 I was like, wow.
Have you been regulating your stress?
Acupuncture helps. They do so many amazing things. Acupuncture does so many things. They help you with meditation, like where they place needles to help you relax. Like, I had a family situation, and I came back from North Carolina dealing with my family, and I was under a lot of stress, and I was 25 days late. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I go in, and my acupuncturist was like, oh my God, you look like you ran down to your lat. Like, she was like, you running on empty. She was like, look at you. You just look so ran down. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm so tired. I can barely, like, I was like, I came here because I know, like, I haven't had my cycle and blah, blah, blah. And she said, they gave me this ginger honey drink or whatever. They were like, here, drink this, with hot water. And I was like, okay, like, I did that. And then she was like, I was like, well, I gotta go and I gotta do this. And she was like, well, let me just give you just three needles. One that'll help you sleep better. One, just something to pep you up a little bit, give you some energy. So sure enough, I didn't even get a full treatment. I got three needles. The next day, my cycle came on.
Just all bagged up.
So it's stress. And, I've found some gummies that I found on Amazon, that have like chamomile and something else, like all these relaxation. You got to look, because some herbs prevent you or can interfere with you getting pregnant. So,
That's a good call out.
yeah, it is. You have to, once you're trying to get pregnant, you have to be careful what you take in to your body. So I take these gummies. They're really cool. Also, for those women who have what is it? Oh God. Oh God. I can't think of it. There's something called myonositol, that a woman told me about too.
I have no problem.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, because you mentioned like the DHEA and the CoQ10, like those are like two that I'm familiar with. Because even like with people with high blood pressure and men, they're take CoQ10 for like circulation and things and.
Yeah, so myonositol works well with women with PCOS. And a lot of women have had success getting pregnant, and actually being able to be fertile by taking myonositol. So it's MYO space INOSITOL. So look that up, research it. It's called myonositol. And it actually helps women with PCOS, but it's also been known to help women who don't have PCOS too. And if you find out different herbs, like I heard about maca roots, for women getting pregnant. It's just a few herbs that help women get pregnant. The herbs that they give me, was it Dong Quai? Like, they give you, I have whatever they give me at the acupuncture clinic has Dong Quai in it. Certain herbs that they give you that they mix themselves. And they also have like little pills, because sometimes that powder is absolutely gross. So like, tell them you want the pill version, and they're really small. They like little teeny tiny balls. And they're easy. The herbs are in like little balls, and they're easy to take. Because I swear that powder is enough to make you want to gag 10 times. But, and I have tasted some nasty, disgusting stuff, and some of it can be really, really crazy. But I take a little bit of the myonositol myself, ever so often, just to see. It's supposed to help your cycle get stronger. It's supposed to help certain things supposed to help you in certain aspects. So, and I had a woman who was in her 40s, mm-hmm. who was about 47. And she told me she was taking DHEA, CoQ10, prenatal vitamins, and the myo-inositol, and she got pregnant. Mm. So, and I would talk to your doctor, but also, like, I would talk to a herbologist. Like, I would go talk to somebody that specializes in Chinese medicine, because they, once they get to know you and know what you're trying to do, they could actually tell you, like, look, what about this herb? And they will really help you. They could actually get down to the actual, like, when the egg is coming. They are fascinating. They are really amazing. Another thing, you asked me about stress. Another thing I do for stress is I get massages. Mm-hmm. So I go to chiropractic. They give amazing massages at the chiropractor. I also go, like, do a little exercise. Like, you can, I love to walk. Kenny knows that we both love to walk. I walk at least like 30 minutes to an hour every time I get the opportunity, just kind of get away from the stress. Also, I go into the infrared sauna, or I go to just like the regular dry sauna. Mm-hmm. And I just sit in there for a little bit just to kind of loose off for a minute, kind of de-stress. It actually helps me sleep better. I don't know if people take for sleep.
Like magnesium, or
some people take melatonin. But sometimes melatonin now started to keep me awake. But but melatonin actually works really well. Like, you can drink a nice warm tea, like Kenny and I were talking about, like a nice warm tea. I love chai. Like, chai just helps to relax the body. Also, like, chamomile tea, something that'll just really relax you.
The lemon balm.
Lemon balm.
Yeah.
I just saw something on Qigong about the breathing exercises, meditation. I don't get a chance to do that as much as I should. I really need to start.
Me too.
But prayer actually helps to relax me as well. Oh.
You a praying woman.
You know who I am. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know how I roll. I get down.
As you should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, you know, get your rest, hydrate.
Hydration. Water. Yes, definitely. Yes. Water, water, water.
You want to be juicy.
Absolutely. Or at least have some Gatorade. Get your Gatorade on.
Listen.
Knock out your Gatorade.
Get your electrolytes up.
Absolutely.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, what some other, is there anything else that you feel like other women would be able to benefit from based off of your journey so far?
Know what you start as early as you can. If you started late, fuck it, it is what it is, right? But, you know, just get yourself checked so you know where you stand, right? So you won't feel like me. I'm like, oh, I gotta get this done. I have to have this surgery. I gotta get this. My tubes are open. I have to get this. I ended up with this. So you don't have, you know, go through all of that. Also, the earlier you can start preserving your eggs and do the research. Don't just be like, oh, well, she said this. Like, go look stuff up for yourself. Like, I'm a nerd. Like, Kenny can tell you I'm a nerd. I will research something in 2.5 seconds to figure out certain things and what works for me. Mm-hmm. Also, I would say go talk to your doctor. But don't just talk to any doctor just because they're your doctor. Like, again, like I said, at Kaiser, and anybody who knows about Kaiser, you got a revolving door of doctors. And I wanted to make sure I found the right doctor. And so I went to the GYN department and I was kind of talking to different doctors. And somehow I stumbled upon my doctor and I was like, this is the one I will not see anybody else. They were like, oh, would you? No. That's my doctor. If I don't get an appointment with her, I'll go back to my primary care if I got to see somebody, or if they, I'm like, you're going to have to just slide me in, mm-hmm. or something. Or like, it's an emergency. But like, if I got to wait 4 months to see you, I'm going to see that doctor. Also, find doctors who are fertility specialists who actually specialize in people naturally getting pregnant, who see, you know, older women, things of that nature. Again, you know, YouTube University, right? Google things, research things. But, you know, screen your doctor to make sure your doctor is on the same page as you. If they're not on your same page, they're not going to work for your benefit. Because if you, especially if you're a woman of color, you got to find a doctor that's on your same page. My doctor is a Latina, and she, I believe, is from Colombia or Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where her heritage is from, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, you know, even though she went to school here, and but that's her family background. So, like, she's not feeling like my age is old, right? She's seen people mm-hmm. of many ages and backgrounds get pregnant. Like, you really want to see who you're getting. Mm-hmm. And you want to see who your doctor is, and research. Talk to many different people. Talk to midwives. They yeah. may actually be able, you can call a midwife and ask questions and talk. Like, I tell people, call and ask. Because if I didn't call and ask, I wouldn't know that midwives help women who are, you know, open to, not open, but actually, like, are now in the category of C-section only. Mm-hmm. But they still work with these maternal women or these pregnant women who have to have C-sections. Well, no, if you don't ask.
And I also heard that there are certain companies that you could work for that help pay for you to get pregnant.
Now, that's a new one.
Yeah, I've heard about that before.
Oh, well, you know what company I work for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but they're really, I'm not saying anything bad about my company. They're amazing. But yeah, we work with a certain demographic. We'll leave that alone.
yeah, but I've heard that in passing. Again, YouTube and Google University, y'all, but I've heard in passing that there are companies that, you know, the insurances help you to, you know, get certain helps and aid, certain things to make sure you become a mother.
And there are plenty of DVDs and articles on women of color and the struggles and things that they, you know, they go through, and that how people's stories are online. And, you know, you see, like, certain documentaries that are produced about where women of color can go to get, like, proper care during their pregnancy, because they have realized that this become a big issue in this country. And I don't know why they're just realizing that it's a big issue. But again, you can have an OBGYN and a midwife, and Kaiser Surprise midwives and doulas for a short period of time, but you also can pay out of pocket for doulas and midwives and things of that nature.
Yeah. And I also encourage a lot of people, whether be a man, woman, whoever, like, there's a lot of people that's becoming doulas. And yeah,
please research. Yeah. Midwives make a ton of money, and it's a very satisfying career. And again, like I said, my sister-in-law is a midwife, and strangely enough, like, she studies with the midwives in Nigeria, and she also studies here, right? She takes groups of women to Nigeria to actually study under the midwives in Nigeria, because we do things here one way, and then there's another way to do things. And they also deal with women differently during the birthing process. So yeah, it's a very fulfilling career for those women or those people who actually, you know, want to study to be midwives or doulas.
I love it. You know, definitely something I've also considered myself. Mm-hmm. Looking to being a doula. Me and my mom, we talked about it, because she was working in labor and delivery in the hospital, but even she had expressed at some point soon becoming a doula. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even I was like, we should do that.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make it a business. Hey. Any business. Hey. Great bedside manner, all the things.
Yeah, you need that.
Care and love. Yeah.
It's amazing if you watch the doulas that they have in, is it China, Korea, or Japan? It'll blow your mind what the doula does for the woman. Because, like, really, in certain cultures, like in Nigerian culture, like, after you have a baby, they give you a chance to rest. Like, they kind of take the baby from you, and not literally take it from you, but they help you because you need a chance. Your body needs to, like, recover.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. So they make sure that, you know, you have the help that you need. You need somebody to cook for you, and you need somebody to do certain things. So, yeah, it's you need help.
We all need help, y'all.
Help.
That song cracks me up.
I know, right?
Oh. So, yes, y'all, thanks for listening in. Remember to be resourceful, and Google is your best friend.
YouTube University.
YouTube University. I like that. I stay on YouTube. Oh, my God.
Oh, who doesn't?
I love me some YouTube.
I get educated. Sometimes I get more education from there than you do from your own doctors, because they don't know everything and they don't tell you everything. They don't want you to know.
That's true.
And just always be optimistic. There's nothing that is impossible unless there's some serious medical reason why you cannot get pregnant. You know, they want to make the money off the IVF. So please, 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 please do your research and look into those herbs. And yeah, please. They tell you how much to take, how much you should be. Yeah, I think 200 milligrams is CoQ10. And my doctor bumped me up to a certain amount. You should ask your doctor how much you should take. And I was taking the lowest dosage. And then I was like, I had been taking that and my numbers doubled. So, like, I wasn't even taking the right dosage. And then the DHEA, I forgot what the milligrams of those were. I think I take 3, I think. But I got, like, I think 10 milligrams or so. I think it's 10 or 15 milligrams. I don't know. But if you look online and research, it'll tell you how much to take. Absolutely. Your prenatal vitamins, you know, which ones are good. Omega-3s. Oh, my God. Please, 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 please. Omega-3s. Yeah. You got to take your omega complex. And if you are planning to get pregnant, you really want to start taking your prenatal vitamins and your folic acid, especially if you are what they consider to be a geriatric pregnancy. You want to take the natural version of the folic acid, because some of the folic acid in the prenatal vitamins is not the most organic or most or best version. I think it's called folate something. So yeah, you definitely want to make sure that before you get pregnant, that it has been running through your system. So you definitely want to take those prenatal vitamins, and some of the gummy ones aren't the best. So find out which ones. Like, they have some want you to take it 3 times a day, and those pills are like horse pills. So you got to find one that works for you. And the gummies aren't always best because they don't give you enough for everything you need. So please make sure that if you're trying to get pregnant, or you're thinking about it, or you're in the process, or you are on your CoQ10, I mean, you are on your prenatal vitamins and your omegas.
Yeah, and that's also a thing, real quick, even with those supplements and vitamins, just with any supplement or vitamin, make sure that you're getting the organic version of whatever vitamin it is, because so many of these commercialized, you know, stores, they mass produce and manufacture and put these different binders in, and, you know, these different capsules and stuff, where your body's not actually absorbing the true nutrients and benefiting from you choking down that damn pill, however big it is, right? So also make sure the sources of where you're getting vitamins, do your research, so you make sure that your vitamins that you're spending your money on, with the intent to make yourself better internally, make sure you're actually benefiting from it. Make sure your body's actually absorbing those nutrients to, you know, get the bang for your buck. So, you know, like I say, like, thank you again for coming on to radio to educate, you know, and to, you know, be vulnerable and open to, like, even tell your story and your perspective and stuff like that. I know it's people that are going to be able to benefit from that and might have similar stories to yours. So, yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
Well, I'm definitely sending positive energy and light and love to everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sending them good energy, mate. Whatever process or avenue or road or whatever journey they're on, may it be blessed and a phenomenal one.
And may those good energies and blessings come back on you too.
Hey, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, so thank you again for coming back onto Newt Radio.
Thank you, my love.
You know, you're part of the family, of course. So absolutely. I'm excited to see the feedback from this episode, because like I said, I know it's going to be another episode where people can learn. Yes, so I'm excited. But thank you guys. Remember to tune in every week. Like and subscribe to Newt Radio, streaming on all platforms where you can hear a podcast. And reach out, let me know your feedback, your reviews and stuff on Instagram and Twitter under the same handle at newradio101. And remember to slide into my DMs respectfully on Instagram at Kenny Heflin. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.